The Marine and the Hippie is a weekly conversation about current events aimed at presenting alternative viewpoints while looking for common ground. We are the Marine and the Hippie.
Welcome to Dialogue 16 with the Marine and the Hippie. Today we will be talking about minimum America, minimum, and how Americans seem to accept a very low minimum in exchange or in return for their citizenship. For example, most other people of other countries, citizens, in fact, of other countries, are given or provided healthcare, dental care, and eye care at either a free or very, very low cost in exchange for their citizenship. America is one of the few countries that does not. And that is what we want to talk about today. Should the minimum be raised to give us more in exchange for our citizenship? Doc?
Yes. Before we begin the show, we were also talking about, as part of the citizenship, now part of the citizenship that we're talking about here is the responsibilities that we have to our society, to one another, as well as to the maintenance of our society. And part of that responsibility involves paying taxes. Now, I know in the United States, a lot of people don't like to pay taxes. And the reason they don't like to pay taxes is because they don't really feel like they get anything for it. It feels like we're just dumping money down a black hole. And out of that black hole, the war makers and the environmental destroyers and the banks and the big corporations are always paid first. And then if there's anything left, it might go to like salaries of government employees. But very, very little of that money even comes back to most Americans. And before we go into this topic a little further, this is one of the reasons why Americans hate, as a rule, means-tested social programs, because most Americans pay into that system, and the vast majority of the people who pay into that system don't receive any benefit at all from it. Take, for example, Medicaid. Medicaid is an excellent program that helps people with almost no money get medical care. And there's a reason why we would want poor people to have medical care. It's so that the diseases that breed among poor people in poverty don't spread to the vast majority of society. We want the poor people to be in good health so that the diseases that are associated with poverty don't go off and become everybody's problem. However, the vast majority of the people who pay into that system, the taxpayers, don't get to receive any of the benefits. And the poor people don't have a lobby to help protect it. So when it comes time to chop spending programs, it's poor programs like Medicaid that get cut. Dylan?
Yeah, what people don't seem to, or Americans don't seem to understand, is that we pay taxes. I mean, you might say, oh, I'm not gonna vote for this tax increase in my neighborhood, but it doesn't change the fact that you pay taxes on literally every purchase you buy. Every time you go into a store and you buy that pen for a dollar and you have to pay $1.10, that 10 cents is taxed. And those taxes, as Doc just shared, seem to go into this pool that supports just a few things. And in the rest of the world, those taxes that we pay go into making sure that our needs, basic needs, are being met. And one of them, of course, being medical. Because let's talk about cancer. Cancer treatment is expensive. Now, if you need treatment and that treatment is expensive, well, why is it expensive? Well, it's expensive because we have to pay insurance, we have to pay the doctor, and all of these things. Well, if we can help the people who are getting cancer not to get cancer, then we don't have to pay at the end. In Switzerland, they gave each citizen, I think, something like $2,000 in health and wellness, in a health and wellness personal fund. And each citizen was able to spend that money on something like yoga classes, a bicycle, skiing classes, or buying, you know, something to go have fun on and be active with. And what they found out was that they got a return of 1,000%. It meant that all citizens became healthier. Therefore, the amount of money that the government needed to pay out for medical in a system with nationalized healthcare was 1,000% lower than what they were paying the fiscal year before. So anybody who's saying that you know, there's no way to fix it, or the cost is impossible to fix, to be honest, doesn't know what they're talking about.
This is one of the things when we talk about M4A, you know, a lot of people say M4A, Medicare for All. You know, Medicare for All, and Dylan and I have had some discussions about this. What we should be talking about is we should talk about NHS, National Health Service, National Health System, where the whole country is taken care of like this. And we happen to know when we do the math, in the United States, the average working person pays twice as much for their health insurance premiums. And this isn't including the copay or the cost of drugs or anything like that. They pay twice as much for their health insurance premiums as the equivalent worker in Great Britain pays in taxes for NHS. So we have a system that's privatized that people are just dumping money and money and money into, and it's not getting better health outcomes than NHS, but it costs half as much for the worker in Great Britain to pay taxes to NHS. They get better outcomes. They get guaranteed outcomes. And so when we talk about M4A in this country, we could talk about M4A, but we need to make sure that we're talking about the right thing, which is a nationalized health service that doesn't leave anybody behind and gives everybody the opportunity to access quality health care across the country. And we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Marine and the Hippie. This is Dialogue Number 16, Minimum American Minimum. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dylan with the Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Hippie.
Welcome back to Dialogue 16, Minimum, America Minimum. At break, Doc shared with us that in Great Britain, they're paying half the cost for their national healthcare system, and we are paying two times the cost for our insurance, and that insurance doesn't cover anything. I mean, it covers copays and such, but it's when you walk into the doctor in Great Britain or Turkey or Thailand or Indonesia or Brazil or the rest of the world, almost, what happens is you walk in and you get your care. You get everything that you need for maybe a penny or a dollar or $2. It's never a huge cost. But in America, we pay a huge cost up front for something, and then a huge cost out the door. And we accept that as being normal because we're in America, and Americans, well, this is how it works. We have a better system than everybody else's. How is it a better system? How is it a better system when the majority of Americans are more afraid of their bill than they are of their diagnosis? Because the cost is so exorbitantly high. So to get their diabetes medicine, to get their HIV medicine, to get their cancer treatment, the cost is through the roof. So people are profiteering on health. Now, profiting is okay. The problem is you're profiting on health twice because you're profiting on the fact that I'm paying your taxes. My taxes as a citizen should be used for something that I get a return on. That means when I go drive down the road, it doesn't go thump, 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 thump because there's potholes, that the bridge doesn't break, and that medical, universal basic income, so some way of funding retirement and funding people being able to survive when they are out of a job, and that, well, the air that we breathe isn't going to just, all these things aren't just going to kill us. And in America, it's like, okay, if you have money, you're doing well. But if you're not having money, you're not doing well. We are all Americans. And if we're all Americans, we all need to demand something a little bit different. Doc, what do you think?
I think that you're right, Dylan, and that I think that we need to, in the United States, begin demanding more from our government. And we need to demand things that benefit us. I mean, I look back at the almost 20 years of war that we've been fighting in Afghanistan that we're prepared to now just leave, apparently. I don't believe that the Biden administration is going to actually leave, seeing as how hard he worked to get those troops over there in the first place. I don't think he's just going to walk out of there. It seems like he wants to continue that forever. But what benefit do I as an American get for the trillions of dollars that have been dumped into that region? I get no benefit at all from the war we've been fighting in Afghanistan. And I know that there are some people who think, oh, well, you know, the Taliban is a threat, blah, 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 blah. They're not a threat to me. They never were a threat to me. They didn't attack me on 9/11. They attacked the symbols of the United States power. And that's not the average person in this country. So what benefit do I get from the trillions of dollars that not only I, but also my children and my grandchildren are going to be paying for this ridiculous war? I mean, at what point do I, as an American, start demanding that my government start giving me a return on the taxes that I've been paying? You know, if I'm willing to pay taxes, and I am willing to pay taxes, then I should be getting something from it. And if I am not willing to pay taxes, then I should not expect a doggone thing from the government. And I think there are plenty of people in this country who are well off enough that they don't have to expect anything from this government. But they're a tiny group of people compared to the amount of people who actually need something from the government. Dylan?
Yeah, but again, the problem is some people say, well, this person's not working. They're not paying taxes. And my response is, yes, they are paying taxes. They're paying taxes on everything that they buy. So on groceries, on gasoline, if they own their property. The government is getting paid by everyone, not just by those who are working. They are collecting money. They are collecting. It is what is being returned to us on our investment that is a failure and a fraud as a citizen, not as a nation. Doc just brought up the war in Afghanistan. At a national level, we see the return. We have lots of weapons. We use those weapons against other people. But as an individual citizen level, we don't get a return. And the return has to be there for a society to succeed in time. And that return is to have our needs available to us to be met. And that is changing from a system that has price gouging to have a system that has price caps. So for example, if you go to there's a Shell station across the street from a Total, and one is at $3.28 and one's at $3.29. That shouldn't be allowed. The only thing that should be allowed is that a gallon of gas in America at every gas station is at $2.99, and that is regulated and pushed and protected by the government for the drivers and the citizens of America. Same thing with bread. A loaf of bread or a gallon of milk should be X amount of dollar. It shouldn't be, hey, at 7-Eleven it's $4 and at Whole Foods it's $5. It should be the same price for the same product, the same quality nationally. In France, that's how it works. In Turkey, that's how it works. You buy fresh loaf of bread for a euro. If it has a fig in it, it can be anything it wants. But that basic level, that basic need is capped by legislation, by the government making sure that people have food to eat, that gas prices are at the same. Doc?
Yes, before we go to break, I'll really quickly kind of go over. I know I've mentioned my book a couple of times on the air, and this is not a plug for my book. Even though if you would like to get my book, you can just look my name up on Amazon. It's there. You can buy a copy of it. You know, you should buy a copy of it because it's a good book. But at any rate, the analogy that I presented at the very beginning of this book was the idea of a monster called need that circled around a mountain and ate people who were on lower levels of the mountain while everybody else was trying to get up to the top of the mountain to get away from the monster. And at some point in this analogy, or this allegory, if you want to use that term, the society got together and killed the monster of need. They got together, and this is what Dylan's describing of having a price cap on basic needs like bread, gallons of milk, a gallon of gas, whatever, these basic needs, where the society gets together and says everybody should have access to these things and it shouldn't put them in the poorhouse to actually try to get access to them. That's a society getting together and killing this monster of need. We don't need to suffer in our society. We're a very wealthy country in the United States. We have a lot of resources. We create money out of thin air. We don't need, there's nothing inherently valuable about suffering. And so I don't understand why it is in our country that we seem to say that the suffering is what makes the thing valuable. Why should people do without food? Why should people ever do without a house? Why should people ever do without clothing? Why should they ever do without medical care? And so we'll tackle some of these issues, and we'll actually start thinking of ways to kill that monster of need once we get back from the break. You're listening to Dialogue 16, Marine of the Hippie. We're talking about minimum American minimum, and we'll be right back. Hey, this is Doc.
And this is Dylan.
And you're listening to Marine and the Hippie.
And welcome back to Dialogue 16 with the Marine and the Hippie. Minimum, America, minimum. Before break, Doc was talking about the monster of named need. And that America seems to accept suffering. We accept and asks the question, why do we accept suffering? Suffering is part of life. Not every day is going to be easy. Not we're all going to hit obstacles along the way. That's part of the game. That's part of the fun, in my opinion, is the mountain or to climb over, the wave to paddle out through. That's okay. But what we're talking about as a citizen is, why do we accept suffering on needs? Why do we accept suffering on things that we should already be made available to us for what we are doing in return? Because again, every time we go buy something, gas, cigarettes, alcohol, food, drink, every time we pay tax. And that tax isn't giving us a return. And people who don't seem to understand this are voting for people who don't get this, who say, well, taxes are we don't want to raise your taxes. But your taxes are already being paid. So it's not a question of raising the taxes, it's a question of using taxes to make sure that we have access to a better future and to a better now. And that better future and that better now needs to be behind a few things like universal basic income, retirement, some sort of national healthcare system, medical for all, and some sort of environmental solution. So we have a planet, so we're not going to have to pay for air. That would suck. But that's what's coming if we don't solve these problems. Doc?
Yes, I think that part of the solution for Americans, at least, you know, you live in Turkey, so your situation there is a little bit different. But at least in the United States, part of our solution has to be electing officials and even getting involved in ourselves in the, you know, movement to try to get politicians to promote better policies, to reprioritize the spending of our government so that we're not paying tons of money into a system that only benefits a very small segment of the population. We need to focus on a society that pays ourselves as a whole society rather than a small segment of our society. And I would say that this is the foundation of the word socialism. Socialism is the organization and of the economic structure and the social structure of the society for the benefit of the society, whereas capitalism is the organization of all that stuff for the benefit of just capital. We're helping right now a system that only benefits a very small segment of the population, primarily those people who hold capital, as opposed to the whole entire society. So society should be reoriented in a way that helps all of society. And, you know, ways to do this, some ideas that we have on the table right now, things like Green New Deal, you know, even though that's totally inadequate to where it's at, you know, where it's at right now, Medicare for all, same thing. And something like UBI, Universal Basic Income, which means that we will never, ever be at the mercy of our boss's desire or need to make profit, their fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Our livelihood, our ability to eat should never be at odds with some employer's ability to make profit. Dylan?
I think it's about re-education, because we're not talking about going to a communist bloc. We're not, for all the people who are afraid of, you know, return to, you know, who remember the Cold War and it was America versus Russia, or now it's America versus China, and think that what we're doing is creating a communist nation. No, we're not. We're not saying we're going to go into brutalist structures and architecture. No, creativity is still there. All of these things are still available to you. It would just mean, again, that policy is what we're voting for, and that we demand that our politicians are writing policy that gives us a return on our investment. And our investment is paid in spades every day. Even me from Turkey, I pay taxes. These taxes are collected. Someday when I go back to America, the road I'm driving on has been paid from my taxes. And we pay this in spades, but we don't get a return. The return in every other country, even countries that are dirt poor, are medical, some sort of environmental, you know, laws and legislations to say, hey, yeah, we don't want the water killing all the plants. So let's create some laws and then enforce them. So we have air to breathe, and then some sort of way to survive when the going gets tough, like during COVID. America is the only country that didn't provide for its citizens during a freaking pandemic, during a global war against a virus. America is the only one that's like, well, we're still going to try to profit off of it. And that is what all Americans, regardless of any little side group that you're part of, need to really understand, is that every other nation gives a return on their investment as a citizen. They protect you. That's the idea. That's why we have all the guns. That's why we have wars. That's why we have all the weapons. But there are wars outside of our borders, and there are problems inside of our borders. And I don't think we spend enough time collectively, socially, as a community, worried and working towards these policies that would create solutions for all of us to create, again, a return on our investment as citizens of America. And I think we need to demand more. We need to say, hey, these are the things that we want in return for citizenship. And it's not just these three. You know, we have to add to that free education, free higher education. Why? Because, well, that's how we change. But instead, we are profited on. We are a capitalist society in which our needs are what huge corporations capitalize on. And we have politicians that support these corporations and these big companies profiting on our basic needs. That's a problem. Doc?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that the American people need to understand that, you know, what we need to do is we need to start demanding of our politicians that they start working for the American people rather than just a small group of people. Right now we have a ton of policies that benefit certain actors in the private sector, not even, you know, even workers, but, you know, primarily people that, you know, that are already wealthy. And maybe, you know, if we start demanding better policies from our government, maybe we can actually start seeing a return on our investment, start getting the things, the very basic minimum things that we need in this society from the society rather than having to scrape for ourselves. Dylan?
Yeah. And we just have to say, we're not going to accept suffering. We're not going to accept suffering for clean water. We're not going to accept suffering for, you know, the price of gasoline, the price of bread, the price of, you know, necessities. You know, it's fine if somebody becomes a billionaire, that's okay. I don't have a problem with somebody who becomes a billionaire, as long as the policies that are in place that at the top level are also protecting the people at the bottom. So a French billionaire, where everybody can walk in and get their care taken, their medical fixed, is great. Can go get a gallon, a liter of gas for X amount of cost, is fine. But if the billionaires and these certain players at the top are succeeding, while the rest of us suffer, to have access to basic needs, that's a problem of government. That's a problem of a return on our investment as a citizen. What does it mean to be a citizen? Period. Before you start looking at who you are differently, remember, all of us in America are American citizens. There should be, we should be able to list off, bang, 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 these are the returns that we get on our investment as American citizens. The minimum, and that is what we need to change, is to say it shouldn't be zero, and that's where it's at right now. We get zero return, with the exception of these big weapons that protect us from outside invaders. Well, whatever, at this point. At this point, we have to worry about what's inside a little bit more. A little bit more. So you've been listening to Dialogue 16, Minimum America, Minimum. I'm Dylan. I am the hippie.
And I am Doc. I am the Marine. And we will be back next week. In the meanwhile, we invite you to go out to marinehippie.com. Check us out there. We got a bunch of links. Also check out Dylan's blog. And you can get all this stuff. Check out my my Twitter if you want, whatever. You can get all this stuff from marinehippie.com. You can write us an email. Send us some love, you know. We also got, I think we got a Patreon account set up there. So send us money. You can send us love in the form of money. I'm not below that. You know, I'll take money. For this week, Minimum America, Minimum. This is Dialogue 16. My name is Doc. I am the Marine.
I am Dylan. I am the hippie. Have a great week.
And happy Memorial Day. We'll see y'all later.
Ciao.
You're listening to The Marine and the Hippie. I'm Dylan. I'm the Hippie from Turkey. And let me just tell you, Kolay Gelsin, may it be easy. Peace.
For more information on The Marine, follow Doc at Supernova_Earth on Twitter and listen to the Supernova Earth Show on Spotify. For more information on The Hippie, follow Dylan at GeziandMe on Twitter and read his blog at observationsfromthespectrum.org.